Mr. Briggs, our uncontested items calendar.
Number five first.
You're right. Got my check in there before we got through that item. Okay.
Item five is our report by our State Water Resources Control Board liaison. And my understanding from Walt is that he hasn't just changed places with Francis Spivey Weber, who we've seen the last several months, but because of conflicts with various board meeting schedules, you're going to be doing kind of a tag team depending on availability. But it's great to have you with us. Walt has a little bit of experience in water quality and water rights, having been executive director of the State Water Resources Control Board, and also, if I remember right, the chief of the Division of Water Rights. So a fair amount of experience in the water quality and water rights side of the equation. Great to have you with us, Walt.
Thank you, Roger. And if there's any confusion between the identity of Francis and I, well, I would definitely be the beneficiary of that confusion. So, and you're right. You should see one or other of us at future meetings since we're going to do a tag team appearance here. I wanted to mention one contact I had that directly involves a Region 3 activity. A month or probably a little more ago, Supervisor Gibson and Public Works Director Ogren stopped in Sacramento to give Francis Spivey Weber and I an update on the Los Osos project. And our understanding is that while they still have some tight timelines to meet to get their financing all wrapped up and to get the final approvals, that things are looking pretty good, and that was certainly encouraging news. I hope that the last word we heard is the last word, because this is, as you know better than I, been a long-standing issue and one I heard quite a bit about during my last incarnation, so I'm really hopeful that it's coming to a conclusion, and at least what we heard sounded encouraging. I'll mention a couple of things that the State Board is involved in. Since I've been back, it seems like the number of activities has expanded somewhat, but there are several things that are occupying the time of at least the board members in a substantial manner. The once-through cooling policy, which also has some direct effect on this region, we've had several workshops. It remains pretty controversial. At the last workshop in January, we received quite a few more comments. The other board members and I had some thoughts of our own on the subject, so the staff is back to preparing a final draft, and I think it's coming very close now. I think that draft will be released for public review probably within the next week or two, and we are targeting a March 16th adoption meeting. And if I had to speculate, I hope I don't jinx the process, but if I had to speculate, I think it will work this time, because we've probably heard all we're going to hear on that subject, and I don't think there's much new information out there to come in. So I think it'll be up to the board to make a decision on it. So I'm very hopeful that we'll get that in place at that March meeting. Second thing that's been occupying a lot of our time that might eventually have some fallout in other areas of the state is the Russian River. I don't know how familiar you are with the activities up there, but in the last decade or so, there's been about a 30 or 40% increase in grape acreage up there, and a commensurate increase in the amount of frost protection. And the frost protection has gotten to the point where in bad years, exceptionally cold years, they're having impacts not only on the fish but on other users up there because of the large withdrawals for frost protection. So we've had a number of complaints. The board has also had several workshops on that subject. The growers up there have gone through a tremendous effort and done a lot of work in putting together a management plan of their own to try and lessen the impacts upon the river and increase the cooperation and coordination among themselves. They've come a long ways. They haven't been able to completely take care of the situation yet. So the board has directed the staff to start pursuing a regulation which basically says that anybody who's operating for frost protection up there who isn't doing so as part of a coordinated operation plan blessed by the board is not making reasonable use of the water. So that's bound to be controversial, but that watershed is heavily appropriated. There are a lot of unpermitted uses up there, a lot of pending applications, and the frost protection issue has just kind of brought the whole situation to a head. So I can foresee that some of the outcome of that or some of the fallout from that might affect other areas of the state sometime in the future, because the Russian is certainly not the only watershed that's in that kind of shape. And probably the last issue, and maybe the biggest one on a statewide basis, is our attempts to follow up with the water bills that were passed last fall by the legislature. We have a whole host of activities to carry out, some in coordination with other agencies, largely Department of Water Resources. The one that directly involves us and has us on the shortest leash is a requirement that by August 12th we develop some numbers for the outflow in the Delta for public trust purposes. Now, this exercise is designed to be an information-type hearing, or an information-type proceeding, I should say, that won't have any precedential effect, but we're supposed to come up with a number in a very short time. And so we're scheduled to start that discussion on March 22nd. We have several days of meetings scheduled then. It's going to be an interesting process, because this is the first time I know of that there will be a, quote, public trust proceeding without any project to look at. All the cases I'm aware of, public trust has been an issue when some project has been considered, and this is a case where there is no project, and yet we're required to come up with some public trust protection numbers. So it'll be interesting, and we're due to finish that process, as I said, in August. I'll stop there and not take any more of your time. Be happy to try and answer any questions if you have any. So,
any board questions for Mr. Pettit? Dr. Hunter?
Thank you for your report this morning. Thank you for joining us. Just could you elaborate a little more on the outcome of the public trust hearings and how those numbers will be applied to any future actions for the Delta?
Well, there's been, in addition to what we've been required to do, the old Bay Delta Commission has been revised and renamed, and now there's also a Delta Conservancy that's been set up. And those two organizations between them are supposed to develop a plan for the Delta. Basically, one of the main points of interest is whether or not there's going to be a peripheral canal or a peripheral pipeline or something. But those agencies are, in short, those agencies are supposed to come up with a plan, and they're supposed to utilize the numbers that we put out. But then the whole process has to come back to the board, because, as I mentioned, those numbers are not binding on anybody. The legislation is very specific that they did not want an evidentiary proceeding, that this is just an informational process. So after the, quote, Delta plan is developed, then the board will have to, in some fashion, and depending upon what the plan is, in some manner, come up with some numbers that do have some weight. So, I'm sorry, that's probably not a very articulate presentation, but it's a rather confusing process. So,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Briggs, our uncon-